We live in a complicated time, and we live in a complex time. All of us know that tonight and tomorrow is Yom Yerushalayim, and today, a couple of hours, the Israel Day Parade. It's a happy time. It's an exciting time. It's a joyous time. It's a time when the Jewish people has reached a significant measure of accomplishment and achievement. We make a bracha, Shechiyanu v'kiyamanu v'giyanu l'zman hazeh. Many of us will be reciting Hallel tomorrow morning with a bracha. So it's a time of joy, it's a time of celebration, and of course it's a time of hope. At the same time, we live in a sad time. This particular slice of the annual calendar of the Jewish people is particularly sad. And I think it speaks to our existence as a people that we constantly try to figure out a way how to negotiate between the happy and the sad, and sometimes have to live with both of them simultaneously. A number of years ago, in 1096, Dafka now, not only between Pesach and Shavuos, but Dafka now, 912 years ago to be exact, a series of events happened that we still remember. In a previous opportunity that I had to address both Kol Eilam Medreshet Yom Rishon, I don't remember when, maybe last year, I focused on the significance of the Crusades as a source for the period of mourning during the time of Sfira. We normally associate Sfira with the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, Shekula Mesu Mi Pesach Va'ad Atzeres, but as I showed to you then, it's also a time when the Crusaders came in 1096 and attacked the Jewish communities in the Rhine Valley in Germany of Speyer, Worms, and Mainz. And it's not just 912 years ago, but it has really live implications for us today. And I pointed out to you that there are a number of sources that associate the mourning of Sfira, particularly in the Ashkenazi communities, not all the way back to the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, but more specifically to what happened during the Crusades. So that even in 2008, there is some expression of this. And I think this is what I would like to highlight Dafka today. If you look on the right-hand side of the sheet, I want to work through a series of texts that show the significance and the implications of today, literally right now, the end of Chodesh Iyar, from the other point of view, not from the joyous, but from the less than joyous. So on the top right-hand side, on the right-hand side of the first page, I xerox from a kina that was written, that we recite on Tisha B'Av, that was written to commemorate the Crusades. There's some question as to who the author of this kina is, and it's an issue of not just historical significance, but I hope we'll be able to get to the fact that it has also halachic significance in terms of the authority of this kina. It's most often associated with Kalonymus ben Yehuda, who lived in the 12th century, who lived in a generation or two after the First Crusades. He has been identified as the father of Rabbi Elazar Bal HaRokeach. Rokeach is one of the leading scholars in medieval Germany, very much associated with the school of Chassidut Ashkenaz, with Ashkenazi pietism. Rokeach is much more well-known. So Rabbi Kolonimus ben Yehuda is identified as the father of the Rokeach. And in fact, there are those who say that the Rokeach himself was the mechaber of this kina, that he himself was responsible for it. The kinos generally, and slichos generally, and liturgical poetry generally is sort of generic, which means that, let's take kinos for example, we have a kina that generally expresses our sadness, expresses our upset, it expresses the struggle that we have to try to continue to maintain a relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in spite of the terrible difficulties and the terrible challenges. What is God trying to tell us? After all, I thought we are the Am HaNivchar, we have a particular relationship with God, and now all of a sudden it seems that God is acting to us in a way that does not reflect that closeness. How do we frame, how do we understand, how do we conceptualize what happened to us and yet be able to maintain this level of closeness and kesher and engagement and faith and commitment to God and to His Torah? So it's so terrible, it's so sad, it's so difficult, it's so challenging. Very often we ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take vengeance on our enemies. It's sort of a generic description without really getting into the details of the particular event that is being commemorated. We're not historians, we're not interested in writing history. What interests us is maintaining the paradigmatic closeness, the relationship between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the details really don't matter that much. It's for that reason that this particular kina stands out, because it does not follow the standard pattern. In the kina beginning, Mi'iten Rosh Mayim, that we recite on Tisha B'Av, we find an explicit, specific, detailed description, places, names, dates, in some cases, numbers of Jews who were killed. It's extraordinarily historical, and because it's unusual, that's why it's particularly important. So on the right-hand side of the first page, in describing what happened during the time of the Crusades, we talk about Haruge Ashpira in the second line, Va'afapa Yizlu Mayim Dema Lahagira, Va'akone Mar, my eyes are peering, and I am now bewailing, I'm saying a kina for what happened for the Haruge Ashpira, Shpire, Basheni is the second month, the month of Iyar, Bishmonabo, on the eighth day of the month of Iyar, Biyom Margoa Hukra, Biyom Margoa means on the day of rest, which means on Shabbos. So we know that the Jews in Spire were attacked by the Crusades in 1096 on Shabbos, the eighth day of Iyar. If you skip to the next stanza, Uvamar Yigonai Va'otzbi Yalei Lachbira Kilos HaKodesh HaRigosa Mayom Bezorcha. Once again, how sad it is, how terrible it is. We remember today holy communities who were destroyed. Kahal Vermeiza. We move now to the community of worms. Bechuna U'Bechura. And in the case of the community of worms, Pa'amayim Kitshu Shem HaMiyuchad B'mora. There was a double tragedy, twice. On two separate occasions, on two separate days, did the community of worms give themselves up or Mekadesh Shem Shamayim. The first time was Be'esr Mushlosha Bechodesh Ziv Latahara. Chodesh Ziv is another way of saying Chodesh Iyar. So it happened on the 23rd of Iyar. And the second time was Bechodesh HaShlishi Bekriyas Halal L'Shorar. On the third month, during the time of the recital of Halal. Now there are two options as to what this could be referring to, because we say Hallel on the third month, one on Rosh Chodesh, as we do every month. There's also another time on the third month when we say Hallel, and that is the Yom Tiv of Shavuos. But it's clear, because we have parallel evidence for this in what's known as the Crusade Chronicles, that describes specifically the historical events, that this is a reference to Rosh Chodesh. So the community of worms, the community of worms twice was Mekadesh Shem Shamayim, the 23rd of Iyar and Rosh Chodesh Sivan. Today, we are in between the 23rd of Iyar and Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And we know that throughout the Middle Ages, up until the 20th century, in the community of worms, there was a specific time of mourning, an additional layer of avelus, of communal avelus, between the 23rd of Iyar and Rosh Chodesh Sivan. These are the 2 days that bracket the terrible tragedy that happened in that city. Certainly between the 23rd of Iyar and Rosh Chodesh Sivan, they faced tremendous challenges. The Crusaders didn't leave Worms until after Rosh Chodesh Sivan, so there is a time of avelus and a time of mourning. Then skip to the next paragraph, Aladire Kahal Magensa, the community of mines. Hahadura, the very special one. Next stanza, Bachodesh Ashlishi Bishlishi. When were they attacked? They were attacked on the third day of the month of Sivan. So it's also clear with that when it says earlier, Bekriyas Halel, it's not a reference to Shavuos, because that's after the third. You understand, if you have a map of Germany in your mind, you're going up the Rhine Valley, Speyer is south, the southernmost, they're going from south to north, Speyer, Worms, and Mainz. So to review, in Speyer was on the eighth day of the month of Iyar, then they come to Worms, the 23rd of Iyar, and Rosh Chodesh Sivan, then 3 days later they're in Mainz, and they wreak havoc on the Mainz community. Having been uncharacteristically historic in its presentation, having given us specifically, unusually, totally uncharacteristically, dates, places, names. This doesn't happen. Ruba de ruba, vast majority of the kinos or the slichos that we recite, the Baal HaKinah now asks a very important question. And the question that he asks, and the answer that he gives, is what I want to trace for you throughout into the 20th century, and it has implications into the 21st century. Simuna levavchem, the last section in this text. Simuna levavchem misbeid mar lekosher. Put it to your heart. We are now tying a terrible eulogy, a terrible sadness onto us. Kishkula harigasam lehisaber lu lehisapra. Kisreifas beis alokeinu ha'ulam v'habir. You need to know that the destruction of these communities and the disruption of Torah scholarship and the shaking up of the Mesorah that was perpetrated by the Crusades, that tragedy is tantamount to, is the equivalent of Churban Beis Elokeinu. It's like the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It's an extraordinary statement. We think the worst terrible tragedy that happened to the Jewish people, certainly in ancient times, certainly was the Churban Beis HaMikdash. What could have been more profoundly tragic and repercussive than going into Golos? Comes along in the 12th century, the Baal HaKinah, Reb Kolomenz, Reb Yehuda, the Baal HaRokeach, and says what happened to us at the end of the 11th century is as bad as the Churban Beis HaMikdash. If that's the case, he asks a question. If it's as bad as the Churban Beis HaMikdash, why am I not commemorating it separate from the Churban Beis HaMikdash? When am I saying these words? I'm saying these words on Tisha B'Av. What happened on Tisha B'Av? The Churban Beis HaMikdash. Why am I mentioning this tragedy on the day of the Churban? Why am I associating this with the Churban if I just said to you, A, that it didn't happen on Tisha B'Av? I mamish just finished telling you explicitly, specifically, the dates. Second day of Iyar, eighth day of Iyar, 23rd day of Iyar, first day of Sivan, third day of Sivan. So it didn't happen on Tisha B'Av. And second of all, I just told you that it's worthy, l'cha'ora, of its own day of commemoration, because it's equal to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So why are we mentioning it today? Why don't we have a separate day to commemorate what happened during the Crusades? And he says, since we don't add days of tragedy, days of mourning, days of commemoration, that whenever Tisha B'Av, it's based on a Mishnah, Gemara, Masachas, Megillah, and Daf Hamed Aleph, that if Tisha B'Av falls on Shabbos, you don't make it earlier, but you make it later. You always try to push things off. And we don't add days of mourning. Therefore today I am arousing my lament and my sadness. It would appear that there is a well-known principle, something that's obvious, it's a davar pashut, that the reason why we do subsume this under Tisha B'Av, and the reason why we do not have a separate day to commemorate what is equal to that which we commemorate on Tisha B'Av, namely the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The reason why we don't is, v'chirtzach nishtazai. We don't do this. V'chi ein lahosif moed sheva v'savera, since we don't add days, so what am I going to do? I can't add a day. So memela, I'm going to do it on the day in which I commemorate already, shein fin lang, already for a long time, on which I commemorate another major tragedy, namely the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. This impulse to subsume is already an old one in our tradition. I want to give you one example from the Gemara with regard to Tisha B'Av itself. If you look on the top left-hand side, the Gemara in Tainus Chavtes is trying to explain a Mishnah that's just cited a few blot earlier in the Gemara. The Mishnah says five things happened on Tisha B'Av. Chamisha Dvar Mira Savosenu B'Tisha B'Av. The five things that happen on Tisha B'Av include Charav Habayis Barishona Ubishnia. Two out of the five refer to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. The first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av, and the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara wants to know, Barishona Minola. The Gemara in Chavtesim et Aleph, and now on the top left of the sheet, the Gemara wants to know, how do you know that the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av? The Mishnah cites it, or presents it as a fact. Five things happen. Charav, Avayis, Barishona, Bishniya. Now the Gemara, as is its wont, wants to figure out what's the basis. How do you know? What's the source? And the Gemara goes through a whole arichis. Now is not the time. Based on this pasuk says 7 of Av, this pasuk says 10th of Av. We work it out. Oh, the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on the 9th of Av. And then the Gemara says, 5 lines from the bottom, Ubishniya minol. How do you know that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av? Now, in the case of the second Beis HaMikdash, we don't have the benefit of the sources from the first Beis HaMikdash. In the first Beis HaMikdash, we have this pasuk in Melachim, and we have a pasuk in Yirmiyah. By the time you come to the Churban Bayis Sheni, it's post the time when we have any Kisvei HaKodesh. We don't have any more. The canonization is completed. We don't have Kisvei HaKodesh. So how do you know? How do you know, Bishni Aminah, how do you know that the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av? And look at the Gemara's answer. Desanya, Megalgalin Zchus Liyom Zakai, V'chova Liyom Chayiv. What does that mean? You Megalgal, you roll good things onto good days, and bad things onto bad days. That's an astounding answer. The question is a historical question. How do you know? Give me a source. In the case of the first Beis HaMikdash, chapter and verse. In the case of the second Beis HaMikdash, how do you know it happened on Tisha B'Av? Well, when else was it going to happen? It had to happen on Tisha B'Av. Why did it have to happen on Tisha B'Av? Because Tisha B'Av is a Yom Chayav. Bad things happen on bad days. Since it was established as a bad day because of Churban Bayis Rishon, and because of the first thing that happened, Gzeira Shenichnusu Alavosenu Shaloyechnusu La'aretz, with the Meraglim, it happened on Tisha B'Av. So there's a Chalais, shame, Yom Chayav on Tisha B'Av. Tisha B'Av then has a character of a Yom Chayav, and bad things are going to happen on a Yom Chayav. In other words, what we're doing is, when we don't know when the second Beis HaMikdash, there's no historical evidence that's quoted, I would have imagined the Gemara should have said, what do you mean? My elder Bobby told me. How long are we talking since Churban Bayis Sheni? It's a couple hundred years. So I know already. This is not, you know, ancient history. It's a couple of hundred years. So my elder Bobby told me that her elder Bobby told her that her elder Bobby told her that that's when it was, because that's what the Jewish people know. There's no historical evidence that's cited here in the Gemara. What's cited is, we're subsuming. We subsume bad things on bad days. So this impulse of subsuming is powerful, and we see it here also. And in the case of the Kina, it's a different kind of subsuming. In the case of the Gemara, the subsuming is, I don't know when the second Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, so I'll say it was destroyed on Tisha B'Av. Absent any explicit historical evidence, I will subsume it under a Yom Chayav. But here, we do know when the Crusaders wreaked havoc on the Rhine Jewish communities. We know what happened in Chodesh Iyar. We know what happened in Chodesh Sivan. Nevertheless, when it comes to commemoration, we're going to subsume the commemoration of those events that we know did not happen on Tisha B'Av. We're going to subsume and commemorate them on Tisha B'Av. This kina is a very famous kina, either the Rokeach or the father of the Rokeach. This phrase, V'chiyen Lahosef, is found in 7 manuscripts of this kina that are found in the Machon L'Tatzlumei Kitvei Yad in Hebrew University. I examined them just a couple of months ago. And this kina is printed in many, many, many kinos collections throughout the Middle Ages. It's in manuscripts of kinos collections, and then it's printed in kinos collections. So this is well-known kina, it's a very famous kina, it's a central kina, and the kina nemton bepashlus, just assumes there is this principle, v'chi'ein lahosif moe tsheva v'safek. The reason why this is significant is because 75 years later, we find an event which takes exactly the opposite point of view. To make a long story short, in 1171, in the spring of 1171, there was a Jew by the name of Yitzchak, the son of Elazar. 1171, this is 1096, now we're in 1171. A Jew by the name of Isaac, the son of Elazar, is walking by the Loire River as it courses through the town of Blois in south central France. So, if you go to France today, and you take a train or a bus, an hour and 20 minutes southwest of Paris, you come to the Loire Valley. The Loire Valley is a very popular tourist destination because there are a lot of beautiful castles along this valley. Ada Yomazet, 2008, there's a city called Blois, B-L-O-I-S. It's right on the river. The Jews walking in 1171 in the spring along the side of this river and is carrying an animal skin that slipped out under his coat. So the whiteness was showing, and now it's dusk outside. Coming towards him is a Christian servant on a horse. The horse sees this white moving apparition in the dusk. It wasn't clear, couldn't really see, just saw whiteness. So the horse got frightened, and the horse didn't want to go to drink in the river. The Christian servant immediately goes to his prince, to his boss, and says to him, just now, on the banks of the Loire River, I saw a Jew disposing of the corpse of a Christian child. I just now saw it. What is it called to dispose of the corpse of a Christian child? This is Alilat Dam, this is the ritual murder accusation. First time in continental Europe. 1144 was the first time in England. There was one in Gloucester, there was one in Norwich. Now it comes to continental Europe, it comes to France. The first time Jews are accused of a ritual murder. For all kinds of reasons that are fascinating, but not for now, this becomes believed. And on the 20th day of Sivan, which is in a couple of weeks the anniversary, this Wednesday is Rosh Chodesh Sivan, so 20 days after, the 20th day of Sivan, 31 or 33 Jews, different sources have different numbers, are burnt at the stake in Blois as a punishment for this alleged sin that they committed. Chaf Sivan, Blois, 1171. We know about this for a number of sources. One of them is the Sefer Zechira, middle on the left-hand side, was still on the first page of Rabbi Ephraim of Bonn. Rabbi Ephraim of Bonn is writing at the end of the 12th century, and he's describing a series of tragedies that occurred to the Jewish people. He describes what happened in Blois, and at the conclusion of his description, he tells us the following. Haravi b'Shabbos on Wednesday, Esrim b'Sivan on the 20th of Sivan in the year 1171, Dalad Alofim, the Tuf Kof Lamed Aleph equal 1171, Kibluhu Kol Kihilot Tzorfat, all the communities in France, the Iye Hayam, the island in the sea, Iye Hayam, the islands in the sea, is a reference to England, Verinus, Rhinus, is a reference to what we know today as Germany, the Rhineland. All of the communities, Kibluhu, or Mekabel upon themselves, in France, in England, and in Germany, Liom Sfod Vitainis, they established and accepted upon themselves a fast day, Meritzo Nafsham, because they thought it was an appropriate thing to do, Ube Mitzvat HaGaon Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Arav Rab Meir, and also based on the command of Rabbi Yaakov, the son of Rab Meir. Who is Rabbi Yaakov, the son of Rab Meir? None other than the great Rabbeinu Tam, the Einikel of Rashi, Rabbeinu Tam, one of the greatest Balei HaTosfot, one of the greatest medieval minds in our history, Rabbeinu Tam, who is going to die a few weeks later. Rabbeinu Tam died in 1171. This is his last major pronouncement. He was mitzave the communities, asher kosav aleim sfarim vehodiyam. He wrote letters to them, and he informed them, them being the communities of France, the communities of England, and the communities of the Rhineland, that it's appropriate to establish a fast that it commemorate Nebuch, 31 or 33 Jews, the destruction of 33 Jews. It's kedai, it's appropriate that not just France and England and Rhineland, but l'chol b'nei amenu, the totality of Klal Yisrael, should establish the fast day in order to do this, to remember them. The godol yiyatzom hazeh, mitzom gedalia ben achikam ki yom kippurim, who it's even more chashev than tzom gedalia, zel lashon rabbeinu asher kasav, v'chein nachon, v'chein kiblu hayehud. So we find in 1171 a total rejection of the alleged principle that was established in 1096. We saw earlier in the context of the Crusades, Megitzach Hazoy Azog, V'chein Lahosif Moed Shevev V'Savera. I know when the Crusaders destroyed the community, but Segeit Menishtan, it's irrelevant to me. I don't do anything about it because I don't add days of mourning. Everything is on Tisha B'Av. Therefore, Hayom Leviasi Aura. All of a sudden, Kuntz again, Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, listen, Nebuch, 33 Jews, we have to have a fast day. L'chol b'nei amenu. Bigger than Tzom Gedalia, it's mamish, it's a veritable Yom Kippur. The same Ephraim of Bon wrote a piyut, wrote a slicha, also referring to the fast day established by Rabbeinu Tam. He has a brother, Rabbi Hillel of Bon, who also wrote a slicha, also referring to it as a fast day. And so we find now, we have now two traditions. We have a tradition that says, Ein Lahosif, and we have a tradition that says, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, yes, Lahosif, we're going to have a fast. Terrible thing happened, we're going to have a fast day. Now, scholars have argued, and I think with significant merit, that Rabbi Ephraim of Bonn misunderstood Rabbeinu Tam. Based on all kinds of an analysis, the Rabbeinu Tam, Lemaisa, did not establish this fast day. For our purposes, it doesn't really matter, because everybody assumed, including Rabbi Ephraim of Bonn and his brother, and we'll soon see later generations, that he did establish the fast day. So whether Lemaisa he did or he didn't, it's a very interesting historical question. But in terms of setting up this sort of typology, does one add days? Does one not add days? It's clear that the assumption was that Rabbeinu Tam did believe that's appropriate to add days. So mitzad echad, you have a chiyen lahosif, mitzad sheni, you have a mesorah, you have a kabbalah, you have an assumption that Rabbeinu Tam was mosif. This becomes crystal clear in the middle of the 17th century, at the bottom of the first page. So Nebuch, by the time we come to the middle of the 17th century, there are no Jews anymore in Tzarfat and Iye Hayam and Rhinus. Jews have been expelled from Western Europe to Bislach little by little, beginning in Iye Hayam in England in 1290, and then in France, and then in the Rhineland. By the time we come to the 17th century, Ashkenazi Jewry has transported itself from Western Europe to Central and Eastern Europe. And in the middle of the 17th century, in 1648, there's a terrible pogrom that takes place, a set of tragedies known as the Khmelnytsky massacres. Zerot Tach Vitat. And a terrible, terrible across Central Europe, across Eastern Europe, Jewish communities are destroyed. You should know that before the Second World War, Jews in Eastern Europe said the word Khmelnytsky the way we say the word Hitler. We don't just say Hitler, we get sick, and we say Hitler, Yimach Shemo. You can't just say it without saying Yimach Shemo. This represents the epitome of absolute evil. So what that person, what that Yimach Shemo means to us subsequent to the Holocaust is exactly how Jews in Eastern Europe understood and associated with the name of Khmelnytsky, to give you a sense of how horrible it is what he did. In 1650, there was a little respite. And the Jewish community in 1650 says, what are we going to do in order to remember, in order to commemorate the tragedy that just happened to us? We want to do something. So the Council of the Four Lands and all of the great rabbis at that time get together, they try to pick up the pieces, they try to recreate some semblance of Jewish communal functioning, and they want to remember. One of the rabbis who lived at that time is the Halig Ishach. We know the Halig Ishach, Rav Shapsi Cohen, from his Perish on Yeridea, from his commentary on the part of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shach himself lived through this. He was a survivor of this. He wrote Slichos to be recited in commemoration of what happened. And he wrote a Hakdama, a 5-page introduction to the Slichos that he composed. At the end of his Hakdama, he writes the following, we're now at the bottom of the first page. Al Kain, Kovati La'atzmi Uledorosai. The Shach, Reb Shapsi Cohen says, I instituted for myself and for future generations, Lebanim Ulebnei Banim, for Kinder, for Eniklach, I established Yom Tzom V'Tainis V'Evel U'Misbeit V'Kinim, the Yom Chaf L'Chodesh Sivan. I established a fast day to commemorate the Chmelnitsky massacres, Yimach Shmo, on the 20th of Sivan. Why the 20th of Sivan? You understand that there's a problem now. If you want to establish a fast day to commemorate what happened in Blois, you don't have a problem. All of the Jews were killed, Nebuch, on the same day. You want to commemorate the tragedy, so for Shteitzach, you're going to do it on the day when all the Jews were killed. But here we're talking a year and a half. So which day is more chashuv than another day? What day is more appropriate to be chosen as a day of commemoration than another day if something happened for a year and a half? He chooses the 20th of Sivan. Why does he choose the 20th of Sivan, the Shach, in 1650? Number one, he says, Ya'an, end of the second line, Ki yom zeh hu tchila l'gzeros u'machovos v'chalor amram v'ne'emanim. Number one, because we know, and there are a number of chronicles that describe what happened in the Chmelnitsky massacres. They tell us that the whole thing started in the city of Nemirov in Poland on Chaf Sivan 1648. And so therefore, if you are faced now with the challenge, what day are you going to choose for a tragedy that lasted for a year and a half? So methodologically, it makes sense to say, you know what day is more chashuv than another day? We'll do it on the day it began. The day before it began, there were no massacres. On the day we begin, that's when we begin. That's when the massacre started. So it's logical. When did it start? It started on Chaf Sivan. So therefore, we're going to have a fast day on Chaf Sivan. The Gam, however, he says, he's not happy just with that. The Gam, middle of the third line, Kibo on the 20th of Sivan, Huchbulu Hatzoros, V'Kilkulim, Mikilkulim Shonen. There's a double. There's an association. Wait a minute. Chaf Sivan, a bell goes off in my head. What do I remember when I think of Chaf Sivan? Ki gan gzeras 1171 oisomayamahu ubaosan asman. 1171 also happened on Chaf Sivan. So what we have here is, in a sense, I wouldn't say a subsuming, but I would say an association. They knew. That's why I said earlier it doesn't matter whether Rabbeinu Tam Lamaisa established or didn't establish, they all assumed that he did establish. By the time we come to the 17th century, they are reciting every Yom Kippur, the Slicha of Rabbi Hillel of Bone, which begins Emunei Shlome Yisrael, every Yom Kippur in the Machzer, they're reciting this Slicha that describes what happened in Blois and refers to 1171 as a fast day of Chav Sivan. So they have this notion. They haven't been fasting it, but they know of it. Now, what a coincidence. Unbelievable. And there are no coincidences. Why do we choose Chaf Sivan in 1650? First of all, Kaidim Kol, because that's when it began. But, oh, amazing. It's not just when it began, but there's another Chaf Sivan. Something else that happened on Chaf Sivan. And I'm going to now put these together. V'gam, and the last reason, he says, V'gam ki yom ze lo yere b'shabas kodesh b'shum panim al pi akvios v'haluchos asher b'yodeinu misukan. Unbelievable. Chaf Sivan could never fall on Shabbos. It's like goinus. Go figure out. Chaf Sivan will never fall on Shabbos. If the fast day falls on Shabbos, we got a problem. What are you going to do? You can't fast on Shabbos, so Tainus Esther is earlier, and Tisha B'Av is later. What are you going to do? It's not an issue. Now, it's clear that the reason why the Shach chose Chaf Sivan is not because it never falls on Shabbos. It's clear that he chose it because that's when it started. But Amarechon, once we're already holding that that's when it started, two extra significances. Number one, the resonance of Bois of 1171, and number two, it never falls on Shabbos. Now for sure, there's a fast day. Gone is the whole Yisoid of Ein Lahosif Moed Sheva V'Savir. Gone is Alken Hayom Leviyasi Aorara. Gone is this whole self-assumed Poshita principle that was established after the Crusades. L'chiei Lahosif Moed Sheva V'Savir. Why do I not have a day to commemorate the Crusades? Because I don't have days. I don't add days. I do it all on Tisha B'Av. That's gone. Now, either 1171 or 1650. Therefore, how significant it is that it is precisely this kina. It is precisely this kina of V'chiyein L'hosif Moed Sheva V'Savera that figures most prominently in the opposition of segments within the Orthodox community to the establishment of Yom HaShoah. Because now let's jump to the 20th century. Nebuch, the Shoah of the 20th century. It's now after the Shoah, or it may even be towards the middle of the Shoah. I want to do something. I want to remember. I want to have a fast day. I want to establish Ebbis, something to commemorate what happened. And here again I have a problem. If I had a problem when it came to 1.5 years in the Chmelnytsky massacres, which day am I going to choose? So now, Rachmana Litzlan, 6 years. I have 6 years from 1939, you want to go earlier, to Kristallnacht, till 1945. What day am I going to choose? Ebbis I want to do. What day can I choose? So we find a fascinating story. On the top right-hand side of the second page, we have a tshuva of Rav Moshe Sternbuch. Rav Moshe Sternbuch was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav, Rav Yitzchak Ze'ev Halevi Soloveitchik. And he tells us a story. The tshuva in his tshuva sefer, of Rav Moshe Sternbuch's tshuva sefer, has to do with She'ela im la'asot yom evel l'ribei rivavo sh'ner gubishoa. His shayla is, can you have a yom evel? Notice, he doesn't say fast day. If we had the time, we would have to work through all of these texts. He says, Yom Evel. Can I have a Yom Evel after the Shoah? Hineni Makdim Kan Uvda. He says, in order to understand the answer to this, I have to tell you a story. Hineni Makdim Kan Uvda Itzamaran Hagon Reb Yitzchak Ze'ev Salavechik Zatzal Bishana Tavshin Gimel. So Tavshin Gimel turns out to be November of 1942. We know that in November of 1942, the Yishuv in Israel, for the first time, was really convinced of the horrific events that were happening in Europe. Until then, they didn't really believe it, they couldn't believe it, it was too crazy, it was impossible. But they finally got it. There were a number of Jews from Eastern Europe who came to Israel, who told the story, eyewitnesses, and they finally got it. The Yishuv was in an uproar in November of 1942, Tavshin Gimel. At that time, the chief rabbi was Rabbi Yitzchak Isaac Halevi Herzog, the Ashkenazi chief rabbi, wants to establish, and in fact established in December of 1942, a day of Tainus. We need Rachmei Shamayim. This is unbelievable. Says Rav Moshe Sternbuch, at that time, Rav Herzog came to the Brisker Rav, and he tells us what happened. In the year Tavshin Gimel, Bo El Moron Zatzal, HaRav Herzog Zal. So you can tell he was a Talmud of the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav got a Zatzal. Rav Herzog got a Zal. Eichet Ebbis, got a Zal. Very nice. even though you didn't make him a tzaddik, but zechorinu levracha is a good thing. He was a zatzal, he was a zal. Rav Herzog comes to the Brisker Rav, pays him a visit. Ubikesh lekayem azeh yom evel. Yom evel. He wants a yom evel. We should do something. Shemu Shamayim, November, December, 1942. We got to do something. We have to do something ritual. We have to do something liturgical. We got to do something like we always do. We have a yom. We do. We want to do tshuva. It's a yom tainus. A yom evel epis. To storm the gates of heaven. Umar and Zatzal, and the Brisker Rav hit my gate. He was opposed. Va'amasha osur lahosif al yimei ha'evel. Can't add days. Sorry. You can't add days of mourning. V'sho'al osu hanal, so Rav Herzog asks him, eifo zeh kosuv, v'ushteit. This is not some ex-cathedra pronouncement. What's your source? Va'ozamar hagriz Zatzal, Hakino Shaanu Omer Mitishabov Al Haruge Malchus Vermaiza Veshbaira Shenir Tsuchu Biyameir Visivan. He pulled out this kino. You want to know my source that we can't add a day of Avel in November of 1942 for the Holocaust? I'll tell you my source. It's Yemekino Miiten Roshimayim. And it says in this kino, Simon Alavavchem is made Malakashra. Hare Mefurish, says the Brisker Rav to Rav Herzog in 1942. So it says Beferish, even though these holy communities were killed in terrible, terrible tragedies. Nevertheless, ma'achrim ha'evel at Tisha B'Av. You postpone the mourning for them until Tisha B'Av. She'osu la'aso sod yom evel. All of a sudden, out comes Yenekina. Out comes Yenekina. Akina, whose position was repeatedly violated since that kingdom. A position that I have showed you. And I could show you 8 more examples. There's a fast day, Lamashal, on Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. It's a fascinating fast day. We normally associate fast days with the day of the month. There's a fast day of the day of the week. On the Friday, the Erev Shabbos of Parshas Chukas, there's a fast day. The burning of 24 wagon loads of Sifrei Kodesh in Paris in 1242. A fast day. This principle of fast day is repeatedly invoked in the Middle Ages. Rabbeinu Tam, maybe, in Vuan 1171. The Shach, the Heilige Shach, the Gaone Vada Abai Ratzot in 1650. A lot of people, great rabbis, are establishing fast days for their tragedy. Forget about Ein Lahosef. It's gone. Kumtz again, the Brisker Rav, in 1942, and out of his pocket, actually out of his mind, comes Yenekina. And he says here in the parenthesis, Umar and Zatzal Omar lo kol hapiyot bal peh. That's why I say out of his mind. Gedarka bako, he just rattled it off orally. He comes and asks him a shayla and licked him in cup, Yenekina, and they davened up the kina. Because he knew it by heart. Shehaya Omar kinus of lichos bal peh bezichrono anifla. He was a genius. He knew everything by heart. V'lo motza shum makor le'esar. Elo divrei apaiton, unbelievable. If you were to ask me, Paskin Ashaila, would I go to a piyut to Paskin Ashaila? I would go to the Shulchan Aruch to Paskin Ashaila. I'd go to Meforshim, Mechveis Ramban, Chedusha Ramban, quoted Lahalacha to Paskin Ashaila. Would I go to the Slichos, to the Kinis, to Paskin Ashaila, Lahalacha? This is a serious Shaila. Are you allowed to establish a fast day? Or a Yom Evel at least? And he acknowledges, the Brisker Rav did, that even though all he had was Yena Paitan, v'lo matzo shum mekor le'esor ala divrei apaitan, aval maspik lo bozeh lehitnaged betakifut liyom evel nosef. This is a much huger conversation, because you understand very well that this had massive implications. I'll just show you at the bottom of the page. There's a tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein that was published 1 year before he died where Rav Moshe says exactly the same thing. It was published in 1985. Rav Moshe died in 1986. The question is, why are we in our community not doing anything to commemorate the Holocaust? Zakr Rav Moshe, good question. Answer, I'll tell you why. You know why we're not doing anything to commemorate the Holocaust? Because it says in Yenekina, when it comes to the Crusades, Ein Lehosif, and if it applies to the Crusades, it applies to the Holocaust also. So this Kina, which describes events that happened today, mamish, right now, this time of year, is not just the Favarfen Kina Azay Gizot Ogedavent on Tisha B'Av, but it has massive implications, and it's very problematic. And with its problematics, it's something that deeply continues to affect us and continues to affect the way the Holocaust is commemorated in our community and in many communities. I will conclude by telling you that I am very concerned. I just now finished an article that deals some of the issues that I presented to you this morning and many others. It'll come out, I hope, within 3 or 4 weeks in the next issue of Tradition. Tradition magazine is publishing an issue in memory of the late Rabbi Walter Wurzburger, and this article will appear. I conclude my article, and I want to conclude now, with a sense of pessimism, because I am worried that on the one hand it would appear that we have 2 days to commemorate the Holocaust. On the one hand we have Tisha B'Av, and on the other hand we have Chav Zayin Nissan, what we call Yom HaShoah, which is the subject of a whole other conversation. But I'm afraid at the end of the day, neither of them are really sufficient for us. I am afraid that as the generations pass, as the survivors pass, as their children and maybe grandchildren pass, there will not be this commitment to maintain Holocaust commemoration. And I believe that the reason is because it never was instituted in a ritual, religious way into our calendar. You want to have mitzvahs? You want to have something observed, you have to make it a religious act. You don't make it a religious act, you light candles, you hear speeches, you show a movie, you have a conversation, you read names, very important. But it doesn't have mitzvahs, and that's my fear. At the end of the day, the respect and the commemoration due to the Kedoshim, Shenehergu, who gave up their lives, who were killed, who were buried alive, who were destroyed because they were Jewish, that their memory will not last in the Jewish community precisely because of this impulse to go back to Yena Kina, even though historically and halachically that Kina is fraught with a great deal of specific complications. On the one hand, we celebrate tonight and tomorrow Yom Yerushalayim, and it's that that a Mitzvah Hashem should have Nitzchias and should have Kiyum. If you say Hallel on a day, it gives that day significance. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant Bila HaMaves LaNetzach. And we should be Zocha for Simchas Yerushalayim and Binyan Beis HaMikdash B'Mehera B'Yomim.